Good morning, good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. Not quite as sunny and nice as it was yesterday, but hey, it's the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice, thank you, and be glad in it. That's what we're going to do. If it's your first time visiting with us, if you would stop by the Welcome Center, we would love to give you a gift and welcome you officially. If you're joining online for the first time, if you scan that QR code, let us know that you're out there watching and listening. That always is an encouragement to us. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Let's not forget that as we're moving to baby dedication. It's also baby dedication day. I need to say something here. So you say, Pastor John, I did not get to baby dedication. My kids are no longer babies. Well, it really, I guess we should maybe think of it as family dedication. We understand that, this process of dedication really has less to do with our children than it does to do with the parents, right? It's the parents dedicating themselves to raising up that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I believe that it goes beyond parents. It goes to that extended family. If you have Christian grandparents and aunts and uncles, they should also commit themselves to helping you raise that child in the nurture and admonition of Christ. And so we invite all the families to participate in that. So if you have older children that have not yet, you've not yet committed yourself to that process, and you would like to be involved in this next Sunday, you're more than welcome to join us. You don't have to sign up or anything. We'll have a call forward at the end of the service next Sunday evening, or Sunday morning, I'm sorry, and we'll get it taken care of. But that's next Sunday, baby dedication. Awana Grand Prix is coming up Saturday, May 18th, 10:30 in the morning. So there's a meeting for all parents and volunteers on May 12th, following the evening service. That's Mother's Day evening following the evening service. So if your kids are involved in the Grand Prix or you want them to be involved, you better hurry up because I think you have to make a car. They'll help you. They'll give you a kit to make a car. But anyway, it's a great time. You'll enjoy that. And that's going to be happening here. You're welcome, by the way. Anyone's welcome to come and watch. And if you've never seen one of the Grand Prix, they're a lot of fun. Revival is coming up on Sunday, June the 2nd is when it starts. Going to end on a Thursday night this year. Chris Miller, evangelist, is our visiting evangelist. We always enjoy him. My brother Chris is here. Looking forward to that. That happens to be that first Sunday. Happens to be when our interns will be here. Tuesday of that week, Pastor Taylor and his wife Maddie will be joining us officially on staff. And so we're looking forward to all of the things that are going to happen that week. It's going to be a very, very busy week. So with that in mind, if I remember to set it out tonight, there will be a sign-up. What's going to happen is then Melody and I are going to leave on Friday to go for Josh's orientation on that Saturday. We won't be back until Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week. That being said, our interns kind of usually, Mel and I take care of feeding and watering them until you get to know them a little bit. Well, I need you to get to know them really fast this year. So if you're willing to do some of that, you can sign up for that. We'll have a sign up for the whole summer setting out. But that first week that they're here, we could use some help. Cola Wars follow all of those things. So our missionaries of the week are Steve and Sherry DeFord in Arizona. Praise the Lord for lots of renovations done to the DeFord house by work crews. In March, the church celebrated Purim. A recent teen activity was combined with other churches in the area and had a great time of fellowship. Praise for Church Work Day, where church members put together some new chairs and repaired a bathroom. They celebrated Easter with a breakfast, and the teens did a special reading in the evening service. Saw the best attendance in the last year. And praise the Lord for two who were saved in December and for missions conference coming in this last December. It's a lot of things that they're just filling us in on with that. Yesterday, if you missed it, we had an ordination service here. Our own Pastor Brett was sitting right up here and was in the hot seat as we got to ask him all kinds of questions, and he did an excellent job. It was just a wonderful time of just making sure that he was prepared for the ministry God has called him to. Tonight, we would ask you to come back prepared to it's been recommended by the council that we would ordain him. And so we're going to vote first tonight and just make sure that the church is on board with ordaining Pastor Brett. I don't know why you wouldn't be, but we'll vote to make that official. And then we will have a laying on of hands and ordaining Pastor Brett into the ministry that God has called him to, and we're looking forward to being able to participate in that. And then Brett's dad, Pastor Bruce Knoyer, is going to be preaching for us, the charge to Brett tonight, and it's an exciting time, so we're just looking forward to all those things. And before the men come, and before I forget, I need to ask you to begin to pray about a couple things as we need to get some things done. So we would like to ask the church to consider giving Taylor and Maddie moving money. We did this for Pastor Brett and Janelle when they came. I don't know if we did it for Andrew and them or not. I don't remember, 12 years ago, 15 years ago. But anyway, we did it for Pastor Brett and Janelle. So we're asking that you would help, would allow us to give $2,000 to them for moving expenses to get them here. And then we have the Taskers, or the missionaries, one of the sets of missionaries that were here for our missions conference. We'd like to take them on in our mission support. And then, and we're not doing this now, I'm just kind of throwing it out there for you to think about, pray about, ask questions about. And then we would like to raise all of our current missionary support. We have, do you remember how many that was, Pastor Brett? Where's Pastor Brett? 49. That we're currently supporting at $135 a month. We'd like to take that up to $150 a month. Mission support has been good from you, and we'd like to be able to see that go up. It's not a huge raise, but if all the churches do it across the board, it'll help a lot, right? So that's kind of the way you have to look at that. So let's have the men come. We'll take up the morning offering. We're praying for the DeFords, Brother Randy, and for the service here. If you would just pray and ask God's blessing upon it.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for loving us, for blessing us so good. Thank you for our salvation. Father, this morning we know that there are those that we love that still are not yet saved, so we pray for the salvation of those. And then, Father, this morning I lift up all of our missionaries, and especially Steve and Sherry DeFord. We pray, oh God, you'll continue to bless their ministry. And then, Father, this morning, as the preaching of the word goes forward, I pray that you will just anoint the preaching, just touch our hearts. And Father, I know that there are those that are hurting so badly, so much going on in their lives, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So we just lift up our folks this morning for your divine intervention on their behalf. And then Father, I pray now that you'll bless this offering. Bless the gift and the giver for your glory in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. We're going to sing about that love this morning. Our hymn of the month, we're going to get to in a little bit, but it's Constrained by Christ. And it's talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for it says, "The love of Christ constraineth us and compels us to live for Him." So we're going to sing all about that love that God showed to us today. So go ahead and stand with me as we sing three verses of "He's a Wonderful Savior to Me."
Together with us, we'll sing four verses of "Crown Him with Many Crowns." The first verse will be the ladies, second verse will be the men, and the third and fourth we'll sing all together.
If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 145, David's psalm of praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. May the Lord sanctify us through his word. Please remain standing.
We're going to continue singing about God's love by saying, How Can It Be? We'll sing three verses of this as well. My weakness, my shortcomings, that God would choose to send his only begotten son to come down to this earth because he loves me. Right? It says, but God commendeth or show his love toward us, and that while I was yet a sinner rebelling against him, Christ died for me. And it's that love that our hymn of the month sings about this month, and it's that love of Christ they showed to us on the cross, and it constrains us or compels us to give him everything. So the next two songs are going to be talking about that. Because of what we've just sung about, he's a wonderful Savior, the love they showed to us, because of that, we ought to live differently. And so if you don't know this song, we've never sung it in our congregation before. Our college group sang it in January at our Recharge Takeover service. So you've probably heard it if you've been here or at least watched a little bit online. So you may know, if you know it, sing along with me. We're just going to sing the first verse twice. If you don't know it, listen, and you'll sing with us. And then tonight, Pastor's going to lead all three verses. So.
Thank you.
down. We're going to have you stand back up for the last song that we sing, which is It's Still the Cross. Again, talking about because of what Jesus Christ has done, it compels us to live for him and to give him our whole life. So we'll sing all four verses of It's Still the Cross.
Not I, but Christ, be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ, be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ, in every look and action. Not I, but Christ, in every thought and word. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, dear Lord, but Christ that lives in me. Not I, but Christ, to gently soothe in sorrow. Not I, but Christ, to wipe the falling tear. Not I, but Christ, to lift the heavy burden. Not I, but Christ, to hush away all fear. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, dear Lord, but Christ that lives in me. Christ, only Christ, ere long will fill my vision. Glory excelling, soon full soon I'll see. Christ, only Christ, my every wish fulfilling. Christ, only Christ, my all in all to be. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, dear Lord, but Christ that lives in me. Oh, that it may be no more I, dear Lord, but Christ that lives in me.
Amen. Thank you, guys. I love that song, and the chorus is just incredible. Lord, save me from myself. You know, I'm my biggest problem. 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to be 2 Kings chapter 18. We have some baptisms taking place at the end of the service. I've got one of the longest messages I've prepared for you ever. No, it's not quite that bad, but it's, you know, whatever. So I'm going to try to rush through this. I'm not trying to rush it, but I want to get through it all. Have you ever made some progress in your Christian walk? You just start taking some good steps, and you're like growing, and things are starting to happen, and it's like, wow, this is great, and then all of a sudden, life comes crashing in. That's what's happening here in 2 Kings chapter 18. The Hezekiah is the king, and let's read the first few verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer and get started. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but Israel is the northern kingdom, Judah is the southern kingdom. They're both Jewish kingdoms, but we're talking about two different ones. Hezekiah is the king of Judah. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Now, that's going to begin to tell us about how, you know, Hezekiah is trying to do what's right and go the right direction, and you're going to begin to see what happens. But in verse 4, he removes the high places, breaks down the images, cuts down the groves, I love this. He break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses, remember the serpent that was hung on the pole? This is how bad we are as human beings, because the children of Israel began to worship that serpent. So he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense unto it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. So after him was none like among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whatsoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza. That's a word you've heard a lot in the news lately. And the borders thereof from the town of the watchman to the fence city. This is Hezekiah. I am going to do what's right. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to follow after the things of God. I'm going to help everyone else to understand the direction we ought to go. And here's Hezekiah and God's blessing. Things are going to happen. Let's pray. Father, as we look now at this passage of Scripture, help us to be encouraged to trust you, to grow in your grace through this. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After choosing to do what's right, and after God begins to give great victory, and after God's put his hand of blessing upon it, after he has chosen to love God, to cleave to the Lord with all of his might, to follow after the things he knows he should do, look what happens in verse 13. Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, 14th year, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against the fenced cities of Judah, and what's it say? And took them. Oh, I don't know about you. Have you ever had these kinds of experiences? Maybe I'm the only, you know, weak, pathetic Christian in the room. I don't know. But, you know, you get right with God, and God begins to do things, and, I mean, you're growing, and God's blessing, and, you know, all of a sudden, the enemy comes in, and when it seems like that you're almost invincible, spiritually speaking, I mean, God's blessing, he's doing what's right, he loves the Lord, he's obeying the Lord, he's not obeying the ones that are in opposition to God. He's standing against, he's seeing victory after victory after victory. And all of a sudden, the enemy slips in and takes the cities of Judah. And that's where we find Hezekiah. Look at verse 14. I want you to see something that does not work. For all of his wisdom, Hezekiah tries something, but it does not work. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria, to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me that which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, the king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord, from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Hezekiah tries to get along with the enemy of God. Here, I'll give you silver. I'll give you gold. Have you ever done this in your spiritual walk? I mean, you're growing. God's blessed. And all of a sudden, the enemy comes in. And then for whatever reason, it's like something switches. And we rather than trust in the Lord with all our heart, we begin to lean to our own understanding. I can get myself through this. I know it's a hard time. I can get myself through this. And Hezekiah begins to try and buy off the king of Assyria. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And at that time, the king of Assyria and his men are going to begin a process that is going to be a challenge. And Hezekiah is going to rise to the challenge. It is a great thing to watch, but, you know, this is going to be a challenge, and what's going to happen is what I really want to focus on. This is the part that I want us to focus on right here, is how the devil, when he slips in and gets just a little bit of a hold, will try and keep that going and keep that going. Go down to verse 19. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? What are you trusting in, Hezekiah? Thou sayest, but they are vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go through his hand and pierce it, so is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. He's challenging. You know, Pharaoh, he says to Hezekiah, you're putting your trust in the wrong things. You started trusting this and this, and he's beginning to challenge where Hezekiah's faith lies. Hezekiah is this guy who says, I'm going to do what's right. God has blessed him. And the Bible says, no one before him has done like Hezekiah has done. He's serving the Lord. And he goes on, look at verse 22. He's still talking to Hezekiah. He says, but if ye say unto me, we will trust the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and hath said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? And now am I come, he's asking a question, am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up to this, against this land and destroy it. He's literally claiming to have God on his side. This is the devil's lies. Listen up. He's going to first try to say, who are you trusting in? Where, you know, are you sure you can trust? I don't know. You tell me. Can you trust this book? Can you trust this book? That's the challenge that you know, the king of Assyria is putting out before Hezekiah. Hezekiah, your trust is misplaced. You don't have anything to trust in here. And begins to question or causes to question and doubt the book. Have you ever Have you ever had cause to doubt the Word of God? And so here's Hezekiah, he's stuck here. And then he goes on to say, not only, you're going to tell me, Hezekiah, that God said, you're going to tell me that God is on your side, but I'm telling you, God's the one that sent me here. And he's claiming to have God on his side. He's claiming to have God on his side. Look at verse 29. Thus saith the king, let not, what's the word, Hezekiah, what? You know what God begins, or what the devil begins to do? The devil begins to say, you can't trust the word. You can't trust the Lord. The Lord's on my side, not on yours. The Lord's against you. And guess what? You can't trust the leaders that God's placed in your path. Your parents don't really know what they're talking about. You can't trust them. Your parents are not trying to steer you the right direction. They're not trying to help you out in life. You can't trust the leadership. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of the hand of the king of Assyria. You're already defeated. It's already done. Can you hear the devil's lies coming at you, coming at you? After this, all this great victory. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't believe Hezekiah when he tells you that God knows what he's doing. Don't believe Hezekiah when he tells you that God hasn't walked away from you, hasn't given up on you. Don't believe Hezekiah when he tells you that God is going to give us victory. Instead, you need to recognize your trust is misplaced. You need to recognize you can't trust your leaders. You need to recognize that God's on my side. This is the devil saying this. I mean, it's not the devil, but that's what the devil's saying to us, right? In this story, it's not the devil. I understand that. Now, therefore, I pray thee, give pledges unto my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses if thou be able to put to on thy part to set riders upon them. He's like, listen up. I'm going to help you here. Now, this is verse 23. I'm skipping back and forth, but we'll get to verse 31 in just a second. He says, not only can you not trust Hezekiah, but you know who you can trust? You can trust me. This is what he's saying. I'm going to give you horses. I'm going to give you the help that you need. The devil's sitting on our shoulders whispering. Whenever all of a sudden it seems like things were going so well and all of a sudden we've hit an impasse and the cities have been overtaken and we're trying to understand what it is that God is trying to accomplish and we're struggling with it. And here's Hezekiah and all the people are listening as this conversation is going on and he says, don't trust Hezekiah. In fact, I'm going to step in and help you. I'm going to give you horses. And look at verse 31. He says, hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out unto me, and then eat every man of his own vine, and every one of his own fig tree. Sounds like a politician, by the way, doesn't it? We're getting all kinds of things like that, right? Just vote for me, and I'll give you something to eat. I'll take care of you. Here's what's happening. He says, eat every man of his own vine. Eat every man of his own fig tree. Drink every one of his own the waters of his own cistern until I come and take you away. Listen to what it says. Take you away to a land like your own, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil, and of honey, that ye may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah. Quit listening to Hezekiah. Your leaders can't be trusted. The scripture can't be trusted. Your God is on my side. And if you'll just listen, the devil comes along and says, hey, John, follow me. I'm going to give you horses. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be wealthy and rich. You're going to have food to eat, water to drink. I'm going to take you to a land. Isn't it amazing? Everything that the devil has to offer, he tries to compare it to what God has given us. A land flowing with milk and honey. Hello. And he's trying to lure the people out from the protection of obedience to God. In verse 26, he had said something that was kind of unusual. He says, then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language. Well, this is important. You know what the devil does when he's coming along trying to lure us away? He uses our lingo. Do you see how this works? He knows just the right things to say. He already is talking about it. A land of milk and honey. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring you to a place of blessing. And they say, quit talking to us in the Jewish language. We can understand your language. And he's like, no, I'm doing this on purpose. He didn't say this, but this is what's happening. He's doing this on purpose because he wants the people to listen and respond. When the devil comes to whisper, and the devil doesn't come and all of a sudden just throw horrendous sin at us and say, hey, go do this. He doesn't do that. He uses our language. He's luring us away. And here's Hezekiah trying to help this city out. Verse 33, hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? He's saying, look, I want to show you the other way. I've already taken over this, and I've already taken over that. I'm already winning. By the way, if you and I were just going to give a general statement, looking at society in America, who's winning? God or the devil? You see how we could be lured this way? And he's literally saying, I'm already winning. Why don't you get on the side of the winners and quit hanging out with the losers over here? That's what he's saying. He's luring them away. This is the devil's, he's an incredible liar. He really is. Where are all these other gods? They didn't deliver them out of Samaria. Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Now, he is literally, earlier he said, the Lord's on my side, and now he's saying, even the Lord is not going to deliver Jerusalem. Look at what he's saying. I mean, this is a big deal. He is literally saying, it is hopeless. Give up. You can't win. It's hopeless for you to keep on trying. Hezekiah has been for years now doing what's right, following after the Lord, and enjoying the blessings of God. And in the middle of God's blessing, all of a sudden it all stops as the king of Assyria comes and takes some cities. And now all of the people are being pulled away from Hezekiah's leadership. All the people are being pulled away from the way of the Lord. And he's using their language. He's trying to browbeat them, and he's convincing them that there's just no way. Can we give you some of God's truth? This is what needs to happen. God's truth needs to step in. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, you know these verses. These are just about God's truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Titus says this, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised. When you and I are facing these struggles, when all of a sudden we've been obedient, God's blessing, we're trying to do what's right, we're going the right direction, and we're seeing God working, and it's been amazing to watch what's been happening. And all of a sudden, we come up against something, and we're tempted to be discouraged, and we're tempted to throw in the towel, and we're tempted to quit. It is at that moment we need to remember what we know. Hezekiah needs to remember God's truth. God cannot lie. That brings us to chapter 19. In verse 6, and Isaiah, now this is the prophet of God now speaking, said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Now, the servants of the king of Assyria have come along, and they're the ones been saying these things, right? You can't trust the word. You can't trust Hezekiah. We're the ones winning. God can't set you free from this. It's a done deal. It's already over. You've already lost. These are the lies that the devil's whispering. God comes along. God sends his prophet and says, listen, be not afraid of the words which you hear. You know, I know it, Christian. I know. We look around. We think, man, after all these years of trying to build up a country that honors God, look what we got. We feel like we're losing. We struggle with our family situations. We think, you know, we've made so many sacrifices. We've given up this and given up this and given up this. We've made so many sacrifices. And yes, we've seen God's blessing along the way, but all of a sudden we hit a wall when our kids become teenagers and things change. All of a sudden we hit a wall when we lose a job and we can't pay the bills. All of a sudden we hit a wall when something drastic happens and the cities have been taken over. And now the devil starts whispering, and he's whispering into the ears of our family, you can't trust the leaders. Give up. It's all over. You've already lost. You can't win this battle. Come on over to our side. We'll take you to a land of milk and honey. We'll give you horses. We'll take care of you. We'll make sure you're fed and have plenty to drink. And come, just come this way. And all of a sudden, our faith is being challenged. It's at that moment we need to remember God's truth. And Isaiah steps in and he says, listen, don't be afraid of what you've heard. Look at verse 7. This is still God talking through Isaiah. Behold, I will send a blast upon them, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by his own sword in his own land. God says, right now, in the midst of all that turmoil, things were going great, and all of a sudden it's come to a screeching halt, and we're tempted to throw in the towel. And God says, I'm going to show you what victory looks like. Just follow me. Trust me. Quit being browbeaten. Don't be afraid of their words, because I'm going to give you this victory. Hey, listen, I don't know what the battles are we might be fighting, but sometimes, you know, we're like, our marriage isn't quite what it needs to be. So we've decided to fight the battle, and we're watching as things are coming back. It's like, wow. You know, we're like Hezekiah. We're living in the blessing of God, and we're seeing God strengthen things. We're seeing things begin to happen. And then we hit a wall, and the devil comes along. You may as well call it quits. Throw in the towel. Go over there. There's greener grasses on the other side of the fence. Your marriage is never going to work. We fought this battle in raising our kids and raising our kids and raising our kids. We hit a wall. And we just want to throw in the towel. We're discouraged. And the devil's whispering. And he's whispering in our language. And he's telling us things like, if you'll just give up, I'll take care of you. And it's a lie. The devil's just trying to get us off target. He is. And he steps into Hezekiah's world here. Hezekiah, who's been doing what's right and seeing the blessing of God and leading the children of Israel and doing what's right. And all of a sudden, he's up against this, and it's difficult. And Isaiah steps in for the Lord and says, don't listen to them, Hezekiah. Trust me. Trust me. Teenager, you've been fighting that battle to try to get, you know, pornography out of your life, and it's a battle, it's a battle, it's a battle. You hit a wall. And the devil comes along and says, you may as well quit fighting this battle because I've already won. It's over. You're done. Do you know what God says? Don't listen to their words. I'm going to show you what victory looks like. It is so easy for us when we're fighting the battles to listen to the enemy. But what we're called upon to do is to remember what we know about God. Remember before when God was blessing and when we were seeing God's hand at work in unusual ways, and God says, I haven't left you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I haven't left you. The battle is not over. In fact, God says things like this. The battle is the Lord's. The Bible says things like this. If God be for us, hello. We need to hold on to God's truth. I'm not suggesting that we're never going to have these battles. We are. This is a great picture of what the Christian life often looks like. We get saved and all of a sudden like, wow, this is glorious, this is glorious, this is glorious. Boom. We hit a wall. We got a choice to make. Are we going to throw in the towel? Quit? Or are we going to trust God? Because this hurdle, this battle, belongs to the Lord. the same as the battle for our very salvation was his, this battle belongs to the Lord. And Isaiah says to Hezekiah, don't call it quits yet. He says things like this. Jesus says in John chapter 8, ye are the father of the devil. He's talking to the Pharisees. And the lust of your father is you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode in not in the truth. There, because there is no truth in him, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, we cannot start listening to the devil as he's giving us this false narrative of where our life will be. Do you really believe that your life will be better off without the Lord? Do you know what is true? All of you know somebody. All of you, every one of you probably knows somebody who used to go to church, and they hit a battle, and they quit fighting the battle, and they decided that the land over there that the devil was offering their kids with milk and honey would be better. So now they don't go to church, they go camping. And sometimes it's hard for us as Christians to say, wow, it looks like they're doing better than we are. You know? Sometimes it's hard for us. But what we're forgetting is that that's not the end. Remember when David asked the same question? When he was talking about why is it that, you know, the wicked seemed, everything seemed to be going well for the wicked? And God said, it's because you're not looking at it's not over yet, David. It's not over yet. God says, don't be afraid of what they're saying. I haven't given up. I'm going to step in. I'm going to show you victory. And they're going to reap what they've sown. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. They're going to reap what they've sown. So trust God's truth. Christian, I don't know where we are. I don't know why the Lord would, you know, lay this upon my heart this week, but you know, I just assume that there's battles going on here. And people are trying to decide, am I going to keep fighting the battle? Well, listen. Fighting the battle, maybe, maybe not, because the battle is the Lord's. But what you're going to do is keep trusting the Lord. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory in Jesus Christ. That's what we have promised. I am not suggesting that the Christian life is easy. It's not. You know, the old song says it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room, right? It's a fight and not a game. And here we are. It's a struggle. We put on the armor of God and we fight. But we do so with faith, trusting the God who has promised, I haven't left you, I've not forsaken you, and the battle belongs to me. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. Say, Pastor John, I'm in the middle of one of those battles. Pastor, the truth is, here I am. It's a struggle. And I have been hearing as the devil's been whispering. And Pastor, I have to be just brutally honest here. I've been listening sometimes. I've gotten discouraged. I'm ready to quit, throw in the towel. Pastor, I need to come back to a place of trust in my God in the midst of my battle. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and let me see that? Thank you, thank you. 3, 4, 7. Thank you, teenagers, thank you. 10, 11. Anyone else? That's where I'm at, Pastor. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not listening yet. But Pastor, I've been, my back's up against the wall. And the devil's whispering, I'm not listening yet. But Pastor, I don't want to give in to the devil's lies. I'm in the middle of one of those battles, and I don't want to give in. Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Let me see it. Thank you, thank you. 3, 4, thank you. Father, tender hearts are everywhere. God, I pray that you would show yourself strong, afresh and anew in the lives of these folks, especially that have raised their hand, that need your strength. Some that have been listening to the devil's lies and being influenced, I pray that you would give them your strength, remind them of what they know about you. God, that we would find hope, help, rest in you by trusting what we know. If there's anyone here that does not know your Son, may today they begin to understand how desperately you love them and desire to save their soul. And Father, we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give." The altar's open to you. You step out, let the Lord have his way, would you, as we sing together. We're going to have a baptism. Pastor Brett will come and lead us in song or two.
All right, we're going to sing "Trust and Obey." It'll be on your screen, but it'll also be in your hymnal on page 414 if you would like it there. So.
Made from
trusted that God was good, or that Jesus could indeed die for someone such as me, someone that was addicted to his sin and who didn't know how to talk to people in general and blamed himself for his mother's death. But then, with the help of friends of mine, plus a few YouTube pastors, Pastor Brett, Pastor John, and Ken, I finally realized and accepted the burden of repentance of my salvation, of my sin, I'm sorry, and accepted the free gift of salvation through God's, or Christ's death at Calvary. I know I have a long way to go on my walk, but I'm excited and hopeful to see where and what to which this leads. Signed, Peyton. Amen. Peyton, have you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior?
I have.
On your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and I baptize you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Here we go in baptism and likeness of his death. Slippery down there, sorry. Raised with him to walk in newness of life. Amen. Evelyn Ellis. Yeah, they are slippery, so I'm going to hold your hand because it gets slippery in here. Is that Evelyn? It's nice and toasty. There you go. It's almost too warm in here. Can everybody see Miss Evelyn? So, I don't know how old the Tess thinks I am. She's like, you might have to have young eyes read this. She writes small. But here is Miss Evelyn's testimony. I was saved on March 27, 2023. That was a year ago. I want to go to heaven, and I want to see my family all saved. I am thankful for that Christ died for us and rose on the third day to wash our sins away. Miss Evelyn, praise the Lord. Miss Evelyn, have you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior? If you die right now, you know you go to heaven? Amen. Upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Bear with him in baptism and light with him with death. Raise with him to walk in newness of life. Amen. Who's next? Ollie Penson. Oliver Penson. You need to hold on to my hand, right? So I don't just let them fall. They can be slippery. There you go. We were talking about being saved and what it means to accept Christ as my Savior. I asked my grandma to help me to do so, and we prayed that night, asking God for forgiveness to make him first in my life. Oliver Penson. Oliver, you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior? And if you die right now, you know you go to heaven? Amen. On your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Bear with him baptism and likeness of his death. Raise with him to walk in newness of life. You can step up the stairs if you want. That's fine. And his brother, Bobby. Bobby Penson. I said Benson. He says Papa Penson. There you go. Got it? Just don't fall. Got one more step. There you go. Bobby says, when my grandma had a stroke, I thought, Lord, please, or my grandpa had a stroke, I thought, Lord, please help him. And when I heard that he was walking so soon at the hospital, I thanked him and asked the Lord then to save me that day, to come into my heart. Praise the Lord. So how long ago was that? So you've trusted Jesus as your Savior? And if you die right now, what would happen? You go to heaven, you think? That's what Jesus says, right? He said he'd take you to heaven if you trust him. So have you done that? So if you die right now, you would go to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Appreciate that, Bobby. Upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Bear with him in baptism and likeness of his death. Raise with him to walk in newness of life. Wow, that's a blessing, isn't it? Praise the Lord, this is what we do. So the people out there who need Jesus, tell them this week, would you? And we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll be dealing with Pastor Brett's ordination, looking forward to hearing his father preach the charge to him as well. So you can be back and join us. Any other announcements I'm supposed to be making, Pastor Brett, wherever you are? Let's stand. We'll let you get out of here. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, give you peace. God bless you. You are dismissed.